This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Miles O'Brien, in for Celeste Headlee. 10 years ago today, off the coast of South Florida, some fishermen found a 5-year-old boy floating in the Atlantic. His name? Elian Gonzalez. His mother had drowned as they tried to flee Cuba on a small aluminum boat. The debate over whether he should stay with relatives in the U.S. or be sent back to his father in Cuba quickly took on a life of its own.
Taking consideration of the mother's risk and that she lost her life to make her son free.
The love and emotional support that this child needs is with his father.
Children be better off with their parents, almost always, but not always.
That's President Clinton there at the end. The saga ratcheted up tension between the United States and Cuba. So on this morning, a status check. Elian is about to turn 16. Fidel Castro is no longer El Presidente, and there is a new administration in Washington. So how are U.S.-Cuba relations now, and how are things in Cuba? And Louise Bardock is author of Without Fidel, A Death Foretold in Miami, Havana, and Washington, and previously of Cuba Confidential. And good to have you with us this morning.
My pleasure.
So give us an update on Elian. How is he doing?
Elian is just fine. His family has been moved into, you could say, a considerably more commodious home in Cardenas, which is where he was from. They had a quite a nice home to begin with, but by Cuban standards, they have a very terrific home now. The government explained that was to help them out after one of the hurricanes a few years ago, but many of their neighbors did not get the same upgrade. His father, Juan Miguel Gonzalez, is doing especially well, and he now is a member of the Cuban National Assembly. And in fact, Elian's doing so well that he got a call from Fidel Castro when he was in the hospital, in 2007. That would be 2 birthdays ago, to wish him happy birthday. Hmm. So he's been doing quite well and continues to get first-class treatment.
Yeah, first-class to say the least. Obviously, yes. Not any worse for the wear after all that has transpired.
I guess you could say certainly by social and political standards. Of course, you know, he underwent a grueling journey, and he will never have his birth mother again, but he certainly gets privileges in Cuba that are not available to the average Cuban.
All right, let's talk about the difficult U.S.-Cuba relationship. Now that Fidel Castro's brother, Raul, is in charge, how have things changed, if at all?
Well, things have changed considerably. We have a new president, which is Raul Castro, but I guess in certain respects, Fidel Castro retains veto power. The relationship with the U.S. has undergone several major changes. During the Bush years, things dramatically contracted, and there was virtually no travel, no contact with the average American. And now all that is starting to change slowly, piecemeal, by the Obama administration. And what we will probably see in the next year or so is that we will be back to what we had under the Clinton administration. Plenty of travel. Certainly, we already have that for Cuban Americans, but probably for the average American, too. We're going to have a lot more travel, a lot more contact. We will continue to open up diplomatically, you know, and postal service.
And Louise Bardock, we got to cut it off. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it. I sure would like to visit Cuba before the Starbucks come. We'll be back.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.